quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Can we get serious now?
One thing that did happen during the 60s was some music of an unusual or experimental nature did get recorded and did get released. Now look at who the executives were in those companies at those times. Not hip young guys. These were cigar-chomping old guys who looked at the product that came and said, I don't know. Who knows what it is? Record it, stick it out of it, sells, all right. We were better off with those guys than we are now with the supposedly hip young executives who are making the decisions of what people should see and hear in the marketplace.
Success in the music business begins with a dream, a vision. This podcast will give you, the listener, the insight and tools to turn that vision into a reality. Meet the industry professionals who work day by day behind the scenes, helping to make those dreams come true. Welcome to the business side of music.
Hey, you're listening to this edition of The Business Side of Music. In the studio with us today is, I'm going to call him a young man because he's younger than me. We'll leave it at that. I actually met this gentleman, five, six, seven years ago, something like that. It was a last minute phone call. We had an artist that was performing during CMA Music Fest, and the other guitarist had backed out, and I called Jason Albright and said, Jason, hey, can you do this? And you were like, sure, when? And I said, it's like tomorrow, and you knocked it out. So, hey, Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is great. It's good to catch up to you. Obviously, you know, Nashville has changed, and of course, your family's growing like crazy now.
Yep.
You've got some new things going on. When you and I first met and you were playing guitar with this one artist that we were working with, you had a whole lot of things getting ready to take place in your life. You've released a couple albums.
Yep.
And then you've also done some playing with some pretty cool artists out there.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the very beginning. How did you get started in the music business? It's a question we always ask our guests.
Yeah. Well, I moved to Nashville in 2004. I had a band that I was kind of the front man of, singer, songwriter. And
did they have a deal? Is that what brought you? Or?
We didn't. We just kind of wanted to get where the action was, and
right,
and kind of knew if we wanted to have any chance at all to get out of where we were. We came from a small town, Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, not that small. Cold, but not
very
that small.
Cold. Yeah, very cold. We're small because we're all shriveled up from the cold. but we did want to get out of the weather. Was part of it too, to be honest. But yeah, we moved to Nashville and just started playing, we were traveling up there as well, traveling around the region, and we came down here and also kept touring around, doing kind of self-made type stuff.
Yeah.
We were just going around to little clubs and youth group type things in churches, that kind of stuff, anything we could do. And eventually met a guy who helped us kind of get a foot in the door at a record label, one of the Christian record labels here. One thing led to another. We ended up showcasing, doing some things. And there were some change-ups at the top at the record label, and the one guy just was like, I'm not interested. So it's kind of a classic story, I guess, in some ways.
Get the deal, but don't really get the deal.
Yeah, we did. We never really ultimately signed anything. It was just kind of like a, let's develop you, let's start writing with some of the staff writers here, which was a good experience and fun, and I enjoyed it. But it's at that time that, you know, I kind of discovered some new things about myself and moved into some different areas of music and realized what I was really, really here to do, I think.
You know, and when you talk about moving in different areas of music, one of the things that I thought was kind of cool was we had actually worked with an artist. I think we did one or two events with them, but all of a sudden we find out you're playing with them, and that's Easton Corbin.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did, and this is, to me, if I've got the story correct, this is kind of how I like Nashville, because it just kind of fell into place for you, right?
Yeah, well, I played with Guy Penrod from the Gaither Vocal Band, if you know who that is.
And you're still with him, right?
Yes, I am to this day. So I've been with him for 8 years. I started in 2010. He kicked off his kind of solo career with a tour of Europe. And someone contacted me just through a few different channels, through my wife and her work in the publishing field, magazines and such, and said, Guy Penrod needs a guitar player. And I said, I don't know, it's not really. And they said, we're going to Europe. And I said, well, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Europe, let me think about it. Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of where it started. And then I was with him for about till 2015. Things started slowing up a little bit at that time, and I was just looking for other opportunities, and the Easton thing came up, and so...
It was just another phone call that came out?
I was calling around just for looking for, you know, maybe spot gigs that I could do. I had a friend who knew the bass player and gave me a call, and I did an audition and met the band leader, and they took me out, and I think they were prepared to kind of take me on for a while, and I only did it for, I would say, what was it, early 2015 through the summer, basically, of 2015. I just felt like at that point, we had our second child, and I wanted to get a little less time on the road. It was a little more than I bargained for, but I had a great experience, you know.
And you're on television. I think we saw you on Good Morning America or Fox and Friends.
Today Show, yeah.
Yeah, Today Show, that's what it was.
That was fun, and got to do that. It was one of those things you dream of doing, that kind of stuff. And
then, of course, you've had a couple albums you've been working on.
Yeah.
The one album I remember in particular, and it is your Christmas project.
Yeah.
Instrumental, and absolutely love that. But a good project.
Thanks.
And you had fun doing that one. What gave you the idea? What inspired you to go ahead and do a Christmas project?
Honestly, it's the market that I'm exposed to on a regular basis. So the first album I put out was a Lullabies one, and that came out of the older kind of crowd that Guy has. It's, you know, probably 50 plus. And I'm thinking, like,
what are you saying? Us old people need to be lullabied to sleep?
No. I was thinking, what would they like? You know, they don't really know me, but they see me with him. And Guy's very nice. He said, if you ever have a project, throw it out on the table. And I thought, well, that's an invitation. I'll get something together.
I'm going to go ahead and create one.
Yeah. So it's been a really good thing.
So when you say it's a lullaby project, what is it?
I guess I thought it's just acoustic guitar, really soft, kind of lullabies and kids' songs.
Almost kind of maybe like ambient, or I don't want to say new age because that's really...
Yeah, maybe like new... Yeah, on that line, kind of Phil Keggy-ish fingerstyle guitar.
Something you'd hear on the Spa channel on Sirius XM.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And, you know, my thinking was, you know, these people have grandkids and that might be a good thing. So, you know, I'm always thinking practically, you know, if I'm going to make something, is it going to be listenable?
And that album, of course, is called Acoustic Lullabies.
Acoustic Lullabies, yeah. And so to answer your question, I just kind of followed that up with the next most logical thing in my mind, which was something that I could actually get out there that people would want to listen to.
Christmas classics.
Yeah. So I thought Christmas music would be a good thing.
And I think it is, too. Let's jump back for a little bit with Acoustic Lullabies, because that's new to me, and I want to talk about that one for a minute. Your original materials, or did you take lullabies and redo them in an instrumental basis? Or?
Yeah, I took well-known, you know, kids' songs, mostly, you know, it was like all public domain type stuff.
Right.
Except for maybe one or two. And just, usually I like to take the main melody and introduce that and then go off and maybe play a little guitar solo improvisation type thing.
Right, all finger-picking style.
Yeah. So, you know, most stuff for me is an excuse to get to the guitar solo. So it's like if I can kind of vamp off of it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely.
And it's done well. I think it's, you know, I have a lot of people come to me like, this helps my kid go right to sleep. And it's something I think people put on Spotify and we'll let it loop. So you don't get a whole lot of dough from that. But if you put it on repeat.
Yeah. Let's play one of those songs. Here's a cut off of the Acoustic Lullaby. Jason Albrandt, Itsy Bitsy Spider. Thank you.
Hi, this is Martina McBride wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Nashville Zoo comes to life at night with magical glowing animals, gigantic flower gardens, colossal Chinese figures, and a 200-foot-long dragon. It's Zoo Lumination, Chinese Festival of Lights. Meet Santa in a two-story holiday village with a towering Christmas tree and giant train. More than 500 lanterns spread across the zoo, making this the largest lantern event in the country. Come experience this 800-year-old tradition, Zoo Lumination, November 15th through February 2nd. Learn more at NashvilleZoo.org.
Hi everyone, I'm Larry Butler, and I want to send you a free digital copy of my new book, The Singer-Songwriter Rulebook, 101 Ways to Help You Improve Your Chances of Success. That's right, everything you need to know to launch your career as a singer-songwriter, all based on my 40 years in the live performance arena, and believe me, I've seen it all. In my book, you'll find the 10 things you have to deal with before even thinking about becoming a singer-songwriter-performer. You'll also learn about the 5 things every singer-songwriter can do this weekend to make their live show better. 5 things I can guarantee that you are not doing already. Plus, there's tips on songwriting and staging, photo and video shoots, publishing, merch, dozens of other topics, all written for people who don't particularly like to read. And again, it's free. Just go to the Business Side of Music website homepage and look for my book cover. Click on it, and a free digital copy of my book will be yours. I'm Larry Butler, and I approve of this message. Thanks.
You're listening to the Business Side of Music.
Hey, we're back in the studio. Jason Albrandt, catching up on, a lot of mileage between us over the years.
Yeah.
We've traveled all over the world, Guy Penrod, Easton Corbin, working on a couple projects. So you're still touring with Guy?
I am, yeah.
How's that going?
Pretty good. We do about 40 to 50 dates a year. So it's enough, enough to keep my feet in that and, scratch the itch of wanting to travel and stuff, but not too much way because I have 4 kids. So.
Yeah, I was going to say you got a wife and 4 kids at home, so that cuts into traveling a little bit.
It's a very family-oriented touring type thing and low-key, just real easy. And a lot of times we're close enough where the family can come. And
Weekend warrior type stuff. Yeah. Which is always good. Yeah, that's one of the things I always loved about Nashville is if you're located here, you can go out of town and come back and visit about 7 states in about 3 days and, you're done.
That's right.
You have a new project coming out, the Hymns Project.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, and a lot of great, classic hymns that, as kids growing up, you remember. Tell us how that project came about.
Again, another kind of catering to my audience. I'm real practical when it comes down to that. I learned a lot from Guy, actually. He likes to say, and this probably came from Bill Gaither, I assume, you want to put the cookies on the shelf where people can reach them, basically. So just kind of having a business head for me, I think practically about it, and it's just a good thing.
I want to play a track off of this.
Okay.
Because first of all, I think people need to understand the difference between picking and finger picking, because it is a different style.
Yeah.
How did you get started in that style of music? Or maybe I should say, how did you get started in that style of playing?
Yeah, really, I kind of come from a background of classical guitar, to be honest, and that got put to the side when I kind of moved to Nashville and started playing more electric guitar.
Who inspired you to, classical guitar, that's so different than rock and roll or country, electric versus acoustic.
I don't know. I think it was by necessity in some ways.
Yeah.
I went to a college that it was like, I wanted to go to music school, but wanted to stay where I was at the time because my wife and I got married young in college years. So I went to a school that was a classical school, and they had a classical guitar program. I was the only student there for guitar, actually. So it was kind of nice. I had personalized instruction. I went 2 years and decided to kind of move on, and it was a performance degree. I never really finished, but I moved to Nashville and started working, and that kind of gets the right hand technique thing that I had.
Right.
Now, adding the thumb pick was another thing, and that was inspired by hearing like Tommy Emmanuel and other folks who are doing that kind of thing. But he's one of the main guys. And I've always loved Phil Keaggy, big inspiration to me, and he does a lot of finger style type stuff. So really it was when I made a realization, I need to get back to my, where I came from, some of my roots and what I cut my teeth on growing up.
Something that you feel at home doing.
Yeah. It felt natural to me to do more instrumental music. Cause you know, like I said, I came to town with a band and thought that was what I wanted to do. And,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting when you, certain little failures or places that you go that don't work out kind of push you into the right direction. Sometimes if you're just willing to keep pushing forward, you'll slide into the right place where you're supposed to be or the right doors open. So
how's Nashville these days, you know, versus when you first came here for that independent musician, that independent artist? Have you seen a lot of changes?
It's hard to say, I guess, because I'm in a different like place, I think. I think as the technology improved and as it got a little easier and more accessible, it became easier to do what we do as an independent artist. Because I found it challenging a lot of times to get maybe a good recording done with anybody for on a budget, you know, back in the early 2000s.
Right.
So, and not, you know, probably because I didn't know anybody either when I got here. I didn't know anybody, but you know, as you, if you stick around long enough, you get to know people and all that stuff.
And that seems to be the key component here. And we talk about that a lot. It is networking, knowing people. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You start to, all the dots start to connect at some point. You know, this person, you meet that person through that person. And
you shouldn't give up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's all really 80% of it.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and play a cut off of this album, Hymns Project. That is the correct title, right? Hymns Project?
Yep.
Come Thou Fount?
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of like another inspiration to me, Eric Johnson.
It's
a kind of Eric Johnson-esque type electric.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's got some acoustic and electric in it.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's listen to that here on The Business Side of Music.
Hey, this is Steve Jones, co-founder of BeatChain, and you're listening to The Business Side of Music.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Wow, I just joined the Music Starts Here community. This is a truly hidden gem for anyone in the music business, whether you live in Nashville or anywhere else in the world. Music Starts Here is like a GPS for your music career. This is the place to be if you want to get advice and direction from some seriously talented musical people who have been where you want to go. Music news, events, and a great big community with resources for artists, songwriters, musicians, studio and tech, along with music business advice from pros in the industry, all on one site. Make sure you get your free profile now. Go to www.musicstartshere.org. That's musicstartshere.org.
You're listening to The Business Side of Music.
Here we are back in the studio. You're listening to this edition of The Business Side of Music. Jason Albrand here with us today. And we're talking about, you know, when you came to Nashville and getting your foot in the door, and we touched a little bit about how things have changed. How does someone of that profession do it these days? What's your advice on someone that's listening that may want to come to Nashville and get involved?
I think the best way is to develop authentic relationships with people.
What a nice way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say something a little bit more crude, but like, don't be an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a way to do it and a way to not do it. And if you can come here and you have some talent and you're willing to meet people and not have an agenda, it's like everyone's got an agenda.
And try not to take gigs away from other people.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. Yeah, don't be an idiot, right?
Yeah, don't be an idiot. I like that. That's good.
You know, things will fall into place. And that's the thing. If you've got the talent and you're a likable person and you can get along with people, getting along with people is half the battle.
Yeah.
You get on a bus with somebody and you got to be able to get along with people.
You do. When you're riding on a bus and you're traveling days on end and there's 8, 9, 10, 11 other guys on that bus, personalities really come into play.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think saying yes as much as possible to things in the beginning anyways, you know, to opportunities that you think, this isn't so great, or maybe doing some things for free, offering to do things for free, because you could just provide some value up front and say, hey, well, pay me if you can, or if you don't like it, never call me back again. You know, that kind of stuff at least shows people that you're willing.
And you're not advocating doing it free all the time, but at least getting your foot in the door.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like you can't come in with guns blazing and be like, I'm amazing. It's like maybe back home you were. But here you're
one of many.
You're
others.
One of many.
It's a very deep pool when it comes to talent in this town. It is. Yeah.
Remaining humble is part of it too, and that's something I had to learn.
I think this town really can chew up and spit out people that don't really kind of follow the rules that you just said, which is don't be an idiot and be humble and, you know, offer to go out and do things because everybody else is willing to do that too, or just about everybody else.
Right. They'll move on to the next talented guitar player. Yeah. Right.
And I think making yourself available is important.
Yep.
Because don't turn down that phone call.
Right.
Because that may lead to that next gig.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Easton Corbin and the Today Show, because we talked about this during the break. You got there. First of all, when you watch it on television, it's a whole lot different than it is in the studio because the stage is a whole lot smaller.
Right.
Yeah. And you get there when?
I think the call time was like 3:30 at the hotel. And
in the
we
morning.
Got there. Yes, in the morning. Like there's like, if you can imagine, there's like hardly anybody driving around in New York, you know?
Which is rare.
Yeah. But like, you get in there and it is so early and people are... You know, some of the band guys slump over a chair, you know, because it's like once they're done setting up, it's crazy.
I want to go back to sleep.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, hey, this is cool, you know, because you're here on this.
There's millions of people getting ready to watch you on television.
Yeah, like, I think it was like 11 million or something crazy. And you have to kind of like try to forget about that because that'll freak you out a little bit.
I was going
to
ask you, so is that something that like pops into your head while you're performing?
Well, it was a realization, but at the same time I had been on TV sets before with Guy, so much smaller things, but But yeah, I mean,
not everybody gets to say they've been on the Today Show.
No, no, yeah. It was really cool, and I got to meet some or see, like, right in front of me some famous actors, and one of the girls from The Office, I got to meet her and get a photo with her, and it's just cool to, you know, bump into those
still
people.
3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, 3:30 in the morning. Yeah. And they look great, of course.
Yeah, because like, they're used to, because yeah, like, they went to bed at 8 o'clock the night before,
right.
And you guys are still up at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah.
But it was fun. Great experience. Loved doing that. We did Fox and Friends as well, which was fun.
Yeah. Very cool. What's next for you?
Well, right now, and this has kind of progressed over the last couple of years, I've been working on some more instrumental stuff. So I'm working on just creating a library of instrumental music for film and television. And I kind of put it on the back burner for a little while, and now I'm starting to think about it again, working with a friend of mine who does a lot of film scoring. And he has pulled me in on several projects to collaborate or play guitar on, usually. But he does a lot of the faith-based films, so he scored 90 Minutes in Heaven and some others. But he's a really talented string arranger guy, computer genius. And so he brings me in for guitar stuff. And we also collaborated on some music for the Museum of the Bible that just opened up in D.C. I don't know when it opened, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's music going through as you go. And he brought me in to collaborate on that.
So anybody that attends there can hear your material?
Yeah. Yeah, it's there. And it's mostly him, to be honest. Yeah. But he gives me more credit than I'm due. But I appreciate him bringing me in on it. It was fun.
How can people find you?
My website's jasonplaysguitars.
Which I love, by the way. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Jasonplaysguitars.com.
Yep.
.com.
Yeah, I think it's because Jason Plays Guitars guitar was taken. But I like the guitars.
And you're always out there working, finding gigs?
Always out there. I'm, you know, just looking for opportunities. They're hiding sometimes.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of turn some stones over, and that's...
But that's how we do it here.
That's how you do it. Yeah.
Great. So. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Don't forget to check out our affiliates, including Labcana, fine hemp products since 2014. Click on their link on our website for more information and how to order their product line. Click on our website link to get a free digital copy of Larry Butler's new rulebook for singers and songwriters, 101 Ways to Help Improve Your Chances of Success. Also, check out our other affiliate, Music Starts Here. You can find them at musicstartshere.org. Probably the best one-stop shop for the singer, songwriter, or aspiring musician who's relocating to Nashville or wants to. Last but not least, shameless plug for this podcast. Become a YouTube subscriber by going to the Business Side of Music page. You can hear all of our released episodes there. Also, check out our website at businesssideofmusic.com. Follow us on Facebook at the Business Side of Music Podcast and on Twitter at Biz Side of Music.
The Business Side of Music is the creation of Tom Sabella and Tracy Snow and is produced by Bob Bender. The Business Side of Music is recorded at Music Dog Studios in Los Angeles, California and Nashville, Tennessee. Production sound designed by Keith Stark. Voiceover and promo by Lisa Busine.